Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
There are two aspects of animal behavior that particularly fascinate me that I'd like to meander a bit about today. The first of these is the ability of animals to take behaviors that evolved for one purpose and adapt them for use for another. The first time I became aware of this was many, many years ago as a young veterinarian when a golden retriever smiled at me. I knew this was a display that's associated with submission in wild animals, but I had never seen it in a companion animal before. It so surprised me when the dog curled up her lips and I could see all of her teeth. At first, I couldn't figure out what was going on. The owner and I had been having a friendly conversation, and as I recall, we were even laughing a little bit. And all of a sudden, there was this dog, and I could see this mouth full of teeth. The owner went on to explain that the dog used this display to make them laugh. My later evaluation of this, based on my knowledge of ethology, was that the dog originally displayed the behavior in an attempt to communicate submission. But her owners were oblivious to what she was experiencing at this time, and it made them laugh. And because it made them laugh, and that relaxed them, and that relaxed her, that rewarded the behavior. So in such a way, a behavior that originally meant, or may have meant, submission to a particular dog, came to be one that was used as a way to join in the fun. When everyone else was smiling, the dog would smile too. But you can also see how some dogs might take this one step further and make the connection that if they display the smile when the owners aren't smiling, perhaps they can change a grumpy owner into a smiling one. If the owner was grumpy because of something that the dog had done, and the smile succeeds in getting the owner to laugh at the dog and relax instead of punish the dog, then the submissive smile now becomes a form of passive aggression, a way to manipulate humans. The second aspect of this is what I think of as a behavioral web, that animals can transmit this knowledge to other animals, maybe in far distant places. This brings me to my second example, and I'll start with a little backstory here. Years ago, when I went away to college and in vet school, I left my dog with my parents. Truth be told, even though I might have felt like I left my dog with my parents, I think my dad was happy to see me go so he could claim the dog as his own. When she was about 12 years old, she developed a heart problem. This was associated with her being overweight because my dad spoiled her after I left, and my folks put her on a diet, but she still needed medication. And they would faithfully take her in to our local veterinarian for routine examinations, and they would tell the veterinarian how well she was doing. That the cough and the breathing problems that had precipitated the original diagnosis no longer bothered her. The dog died when she was 18 years of age. And my mother was one of those women, and I'm one of those women too, that when things are bothering us, we want to clean something. And so my mom went on this cleaning binge. And that included dragging out the vacuum cleaner and not only vacuuming all the furniture, but pulling all the pillows off the furniture, vacuuming under the pillows, and shoving that nozzle down into the cracks around the edges of the chair or the couch. And when she did this to the chair where the dog used to lie next to my dad, she heard this god-awful racket. The racket was so loud it brought my dad charging up from the basement because he thought the vacuum cleaner had exploded. When they opened the bag and looked in, they found hundreds of these tiny heart pills. Somehow unknown to them, after they gave her pills every day, she went into the living room, dug the pillow away far enough that she could spit the pill behind it, and then shove it into the crack with her paws. From an ethological standpoint, you can see that there are two different basic behaviors at play here. One is your basic digging behavior, which would enable her to pull up that pillow enough to spit the pill down there. But the other is caching. Normally, wild animals use caching to hide food that's very important to them, but which they can't eat at that particular moment for some reason. In this case, that wasn't why the caching was occurring. My dog had no desire to swallow those pills at any time. She just wanted to get rid of them. Fast forward now to about a month ago. I was talking to a client who's a very intelligent German Shepherd dog. And this is a dog who, when the owner is gone, gets somewhat distressed. On this particular day, the owner decided to try her alone in the house. And when she came back, the only thing she noticed was that a package of the dog's favorite treats, it was a new bag, was missing from the counter. There were still some in the bag, and she just automatically assumed that the dog had eaten the rest of them. And then later that night, after she had settled down in one room, the dog disappeared, and when she looked up, the dog came back, and the dog had one of the treats in her mouth and lay down beside her and started to munch on it. So the next time the dog got up and went into the other room, she followed the dog. She discovered that the dog had pulled out a pillow, stuffed all those treats under the pillow on the couch, and carefully put the pillow back, just like my dog had done more than 40 years ago. I personally think this is very cool. And it's another one of those behavioral displays that had a child done it, or even an adult human, someone somewhere in the human behavioral sciences would have said that that proves how superior we human beings are. And the fact that these animals do it is probably, well, you know, just dumb luck. But I'm not buying it. I'm thinking they're smarter than we think they are. In a way, that's good news for us, too, because it means that we have to stay sharp, to stay one step ahead of them. And in this day and age where it's so easy to become lazy and have everybody else think and do for us, it's nice to know that our animals are looking out for us that way.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.